But what I want to speak about preeminently tonight is one or two incidents in the life of Peter. Not to bring out the effect so much that they had on Peter, although that will take place, but the way that a peculiar and particular glory of the Lord Jesus shone out in those incidents. Now, first of all, I want to read you the magnificent words of Peter in his second epistle, just to remind our hearts of the depth of the work of God in that man's soul and the effect that the Spirit of God had produced in him at the end of his life on account of his association with the Son of God and his knowledge of him. His second epistle, the first chapter, very few words here, verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Now then, brethren, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. An emphatic statement from this aged servant of God. At the end of his life, he says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Just go back to his first letter, the last chapter, chapter 5, verse 10. He finishes this first epistle like this, with the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein stand. And then the end of his second epistle, a well-known verse, second epistle again, chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I think you will agree that they are majestic words. Words that evoke the certainty of the revelation of God that we have been the recipients of. Words that bring to us the certainty that was in the heart and the faith of Peter. We were reminded this afternoon of the character that shone out in his life as a younger man. How significant that at the end of that first letter, he exhorts the brethren about the necessity of being made perfect, grown up, mature, to be established in the present truth, to be strengthened, and to be settled, and then to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what was it and what is it that enabled Peter so to speak at the end of his pathway? I want to take you through several of the incidents, and there are several more scriptures to read. I'll read them briefly because they are known well, where Peter has a discourse or an incident with the Lord. The first one is in the 6th chapter of John. I was greatly encouraged by the first hymn that we ran. We sang this afternoon when we came together, having in my mind the words of the Lord Jesus at the end of John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, Son of the living God. Matthew chapter 16. Quite a lot that I wish to read just here. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. 20. He charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. That time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him, began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, it will not be unto thee. He turned and said unto him, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me. Thou savourest not the things that be of God, that be of men. Said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, and deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, find it. Chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, afraid. They had lifted up their eyes, for no man gave Jesus. 26. Gospel, chapter 26. 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. With him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Be here and watch with me. And a little farther, on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, be possible, this cup pass from me. Bless not as I will, but wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And to Peter, What? Watch with me, hour, and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Spirit indeed is willing, which is weak. Pray again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, I drink it, it will be done. And found them asleep again. Eyes were heavy, left them. Again, prayed the third time, and the same. Luke chapter 22. 54. They took him, brought him into the high priest's house. He followed afar off. They had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together. Peter sat with them. The maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. He denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. After a while another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And said, Man, I am not. Space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. He said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. Immediately, while he yet spake, turned on Peter, remembered the word of the Lord, said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. nothing, beloved brethren, can establish the soul in divine things. Thus, strengthen us, develop under the power of the Spirit of God those faculties, account of the work of divine persons in us has placed there. There is nothing I say that develop and bring about these things. Of God. Don't forget that Christianity is not merely a doctrine. Christianity is a person living, received its life, and stepping into manhood of a divine person, laying the foundation in his death as a man, resurrection, and his glorification. Taking manhood into the glory of God. Those things, he has laid the basis of that which from the endless ages of eternity, the eternal praise of God the Father, the eternal glory of God the Son, fill out that scene with divine persons, where divine love will be complacent. Persons will rest. Eternal objects of their love, there a scene that will never end, nor death, nor death. Necessary in the day in which we live, that the grasp and impression of those things. These are the things that will establish and settle the soul. Not only of a world that is crumbling, but in the midst of a testimony that is crumbling. I do not mean necessarily an evangelical testimony, a testimony regarding the truth that was once committed to the saints of God. It is the result of the revelation of the Word of God as given to the apostles of the New Testament, maintained right until this present time by a divine person on earth, God the Holy Spirit, maintained in the lives of individual persons. And I. And isn't it remarkable that Peter, at the end of his life, is able to draw from his experience? There's only one way to get experience, that's to experience it. Experience. You cannot study experience. You have to experience it. Things that the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus uses in discipline to do and to establish the work of God in the soul. And you know, it's difficult to find a finer example of those things in the Scriptures than Simon Peter. Reminded this afternoon, in a way, public, denounced and dishonored, his lost. Were we not this afternoon? How that very experience was used of the Lord to do the work of God in his soul. There is like Christianity that can turn a failure into victory. Not anything like it. An absolute failure. Find trophies of victory. A wonderful illustration of that is the cross. You dreadful act that has ever been committed on earth. That as the basis of that that will sustain his eternal glory in men. God can do a thing like that. Man's absolute failure brings about that with the foundation of his glory in men. What a God. As the man of God at the end of Deuteronomy says, happy art thou, Israel, like the God of Israel. When did you last experience in your soul, inwardly, a sense of the magnitude and the greatness of God? And in the death and resurrection of Christ, an experience and have a vision of the majesty and the glory of the person of Christ. Your soul last honestly and really say, to him be the glory forever. Amen. we had a bit of life. Going of heart to God the Father. An experience of the love of divine persons, of the glory of the Son. Thus in all his majesty, yet in the person of Jesus, the greatness of God, he is so great. He stooped so low to save me. Get a hold of these and of knowing God in your soul. Father, with all the intimacy that name brings with it, resting there with him, a companion with the Christ, him in his glory. 50, 60 years ago, I believe, the brethren reveled in these things. Lost. I do not value them. Do not experience them. Do not go in for them. Like the gold, the men that sung, that penned the words that we have just sung. Arabian hymn. You know, it wasn't only the brethren of the last century who penned such things. There's been men through the ages. Expression of the glory of Christ and of the intimacy of his precious love. And of in regard to these things, was in the life of Peter. That discourse of John chapter 6, so enigmatical, still to any of us, sounding to that Jewish mind, who can hear these things? How can man give us his flesh? Drink of his blood? Is to understand divine things by who? With man's plastic, of ration. I can understand in my mind, will I accept? To limit God by your appreciation and an understanding of him. That's what that's doing. But they make of trying to interpret the words of the Son of God in a human way. Reflect upon Peter. To understand what the Lord was saying. Like the other disciples in their measure, had been the object of divine revelation. Revelation involves the being born of the Word of God, of receiving new birth that gives one that new nature, that receive and take in the things of God. Same way as the Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear me and they follow me. Why? They had a nature that was compatible in the actions of the shepherd. Brethren, as being born of God, have the capacity to receive the things of God in the Spirit without necessarily the requisite of divine intellect, although sometimes God uses it to bring it in a simpler way. Of course, many disciples, you know, there were there not that the Lord sent out somewhere along the line? Well, that was the incident where it happened. It might have been. Doesn't matter. Of course, the Lord said, will you also go away? Lord, to whom? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Stood it at that moment, but he was confessing in effect that here is that person in whom divine life was inherent, and the poet come into this world in order to communicate the words of eternal life, in order that men might receive them and receive himself as the Son, receive all that eternal life that was in him. That I just want to remind you of Jesus. He is life giver. Eternal life that was with the Father. That into manhood, and John the Apostle says, we beheld it.
We handled it.
There we see. With the Father. God,
who according to the first chapter of Colossians, was that person in the Godhead, there designated the Son of his love, whom the Godhead used to bring about the universe. He was the one who spoke it into being. He breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a soul who stepped into manhood in order that he might undo the works of the devil, yes. Put away by the sacrifice of himself, yes. Impart to men that eternal life with a view them receiving the revelation of God as Father. Now, beloved, is connected with the revelation of God as the Father. The two things that are in Scripture. Revelation of the Father until a person came from him to display it, to make it known. You could not receive it until you had a life that was compatible with that revelation. Christ says, Lord, thou hast words of eternal life, that thou art the Son of the living God. Very remarkable and unique glories of the Lord Jesus that came out in the incident. But then I refer to Matthew chapter 16. A well-known, when the Lord Jesus ultimately, because the disciples had in effect, quoting the crowds, had said what the Lord Jesus was, a prophet. He was. He says to them emphatically, whom do ye say that I am? Now look at them, note that, beloved brethren. Whom do ye say? He's saying, who? Not what am I? As to my person, thou art of the living God. I must come on account of Christian to simply, beloved brethren, because error is involved by those who perhaps do not understand it as they should. I want to ask you, if there's anybody in the room that wants to answer it verbally, he's free to do so. His womb alter the person of Christ as to his person. Person before incarnation to what after incarnation? Involved in this, beloved brethren, cannot change his being. He eternally what he is. God, as to his purpose, in answer to his in effect, yes, Peter, of God. Brethren, think about it, turn it over in your mind. Self-clear. What a person in manhood that he calls himself here the Son of God. He was that eternally. Then he must have changed his person when he became the Lord Jesus. Peter, my Father has revealed this in all his faith. And yet here at the moment, here was a man who had been the subject of the Father revealing to him who then Jesus really is, the Son of God. Really come home, souls, the understanding and the appreciation of Godhead. In all that of intimacy and relationship that existed and ever exists in the presence of
that that is the sole matter of the relation of God. To the understanding of it. Still, and it was because at this point in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus finishes with his testimony to Israel. Therefore, he that they should tell no man that he was the Christ. Disciples, and to show unto them how that his path went to Jerusalem. Kings of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed. And the third, and side of this man, Simon Peter. Brethren, in his protestation to the Lord, pity thyself, this shall not be unto thee. There is that in him which showed forth the attachment that he had to the Lord Jesus. Things that you and I have to learn in our Christianity. On the one hand, if taught of the Lord and controlled by the Spirit of God, to be set on the things of God, that his mind vows have the ability to be taken of earth and the things of men. Life, personal, family, business, only in the place of discipleship, in the soul of God, learning between the things of God and the things of men. It's hard. In his perfection, has taken up the will of Father in order to carry out the will of God to its fullest extent, was going onward to the cross. There stood in pathway a man that he loved, Simon Peter. Perfection. Satan. Lord Jesus from that pathway. We all need grace. Or a person who you dear stands in the way of your doing the work. Consider, is my mind God of man? And that's when we all need grace. To be able to know, this is the God. This is right according to what Jesus would have me to do. Even though it be the first object of my life. Ah, what a lesson that is. Christ, and to be prepared, if necessary, to say no to the other thing. In order to be. You and I, humanly, may have thought his words severe. But I'm the flesh and the natural man. And our natural tendency, we have to learn to be unspared in regard to and how it can against the will of God. Unto me, the heart of Peter, to turn him aside, to put him off, turn him away. No, that was his soul. And it's true with the very believer on the Lord Jesus. If there is a real God in their soul, then standing truth of God will never stumble them. It may, but standing with God in grace, I should add that, in grace, will never stumble even the youngest child of God. Did he not? And as I read these words, I thought of how true they were for Peter. If any man will come after him, deny himself. Who shall lose it? And whosoever for my sake? He lost for Christ. Ah, but look what he's got. Crown of righteousness. The approval of it. A place, kingdom. That on account of his to him. Pass over to the next chapter. Eliezer. The life giver, which carries the requisite of his being a divine person. confession that as to his person, he is the Son, his personal glory. When you come to him, you get a picture of his official glory, a glory bestowed upon him. Not so much his, although it underpins and comes out in the Father's voice to him, who he is as to his person, because the person underpins every glory that is hung on him. Kingdom, the Messiah, the King, Lord, they're all official. Person of the Son of God, who he is. These three men, Peter, one of them, up into an high mountain, apart and was transfigured. Drawing aside of the veil, and kingdom shone out. It says his face did shine as the sun. The sun. That part of that we're in is the governing point. The sun, as to the verse that this earth is part of, now transfer into the kingdom, 1,000 years reign of Christ. There that will control, that will influence, that will all see. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I pray that if you are invited to a feast, he says, take the lowest place, in order that with thee may come along and say, give place to this, come up higher. The whole universe. He's going to say to Christ, power, whatever it might be, will give place to him. And the net result will be where this little incident is. Jesus only. In Scotland and Wales at the moment bear sadly the influence of Margaret Thatcher. I'm not concerned. But I am that in the millennium the whole world will see the influence of Christ the Son of God. He will hush its groan. Glory that will be a reflection of his power and his majesty, his supremacy and his authority. God's answer to the cross, kingdom. Don't you let those amillennialists take from you the truth of the kingdom. Because if they do, they're destroying God's answer in this world to the cross. And that's why the enemy attacks the idea of the kingdom of Christ. Because it's God's answer to Christ personally, to his shame and dishonor in this world. God says he will be supreme. His glory, his authority, his lordship, and his rights. All let us hold to the truth of the coming glorious kingdom of Christ. He refers to it in his second epistle as that one thing above all else that assured him not followed a cunningly devised fable. He says we heard from that excellent glory the voice of the Father to him. And standing and got in all of a muddle when with him on that glory mount. But he saw the King in his glory for a minute. And it had an effect. It made him a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. Oh, beloved brethren, there may be another reason why some Christians avoid the truth of the kingdom. Because it can application. If that Christ is denied his rights and his authority place, and that the kingdom will give him that place, then you have to ask your question. Whatever I had with him, a thorn and a rope. Truth of the coming kingdom and go hand in hand.
with those of the world who deny him his rights. You can't do it through your associations of the Christian home. Television. Get rid of it. And so is the wireless. So are most of the publications that are pushed through our letterboxes. They are defiling. They are the world. Christ has no part in them. But brethren, let's be true. Let's to what the brethren stuck for 100 years ago. Let us be full, if necessary, for Christ. Let the world run out of step. But let us be it for Christ. Because they thought of him. I speak as I have learned what it is to lose one. Simply, the world can see in you, practically, the truth that the word of God has affected you and affected, and that I am obedient to the word and am prepared to submit to it. Let me show to my children that I have submitted in my life and in my life. If not, I'm just hypocrites. And the Lord won't. Brethren, I heart, but one is concerned, inclined, of spirituality in our gathering, a decline of approved divine love, a decline in the understanding of truth, but more than anything, in the receptive outgoing of affection to divine persons, on account of the things, frankly, we say, beloved, I have been tested to these things. God give us great truth. Peter had to learn it. And I finish with that touching. You will forgive me about it. But the incident this afternoon so much, when Peter, it's so plain, isn't it? Prayer to his father, he went to sleep. Men of Adam's race could stay in that hour. In all terrible vortex, was centering upon one man. May our heart, or cold, as sufferings of Christ. We may not understand. There is a meaning in regard to how far we can enter into them. But let us experience, know what it is to hear the Saviour say, carry here and with. Make sure, ladies Christian, all Christian, that there are periods in your life daily when you can sit down and in quietness upon the person and suffering of Christ. Form soul. Form the sleep when the Lord, a bit later on, when the Lord was submitting the will of God, Peter drew his sword. Brought forth from the Saviour that last, loving, careful, great restoration. He says to Peter, thus far, thus it. To Pilate's hall, Peter followed off. Down with them. These are the words of Scripture. They kindled the fire. It was cold. Of course he did. Fire. Peter. Fire. And you know, as we're reminded, the fact that Peter was grieved when the Lord said to him three, lovest thou me? Are you attached to me? Because Peter was grieved. Part of Jesus. And standing in Pilate's hall, he heard Peter say, I know not the man. Peter. He knew Peter through and through. but as a man, in order that he might be high priest up there in heaven. He knew and for of Peter felt like. He says, Peter remembered. The word of God came home to his soul. Peter remembered. You know, he was behind. This took place geographically, scripture. He was behind the Lord. What he came down, forming himself, denying, he was doing it behind the Lord. Parlance, do you not? He did it. You know the scripture. We cannot do this. It was the utmost love for Peter. It was love for Peter. And the result was it broke him down. Have you ever been? If you haven't, you've missed something. His heart is to learn it there, under his blessed gaze, and at his blessed feet. And he's there learned the dreadful difference in what he was naturally and what he could be in the hands, and as the result of devotmanship. Oh, that you and I might learn these things. That we might have before us the glory, who he is as the life-giving God, who he is as the Son, who he is in the initial glory as the Christ, the King, the Messiah. Yes, but in know him in all the sweet of Jesus. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. Believer's ear soothes his wound, drives away his fear. There is sweetness in the name of Jesus. It is that name, that dignified name, that he took in lowliness, in the which he displayed so one gospel of Luke, that the grace of God had come down in such a person. And Greg was saying, this is I. This is what I. A God of infinite grace and kindness. And yet, to be that high priest in the presence of God, able to sustain his treading this earthly pathway on account of the fact that he has felt the same. There is not a sorrow, there is not a pain, there is not an exercise that you and I may have to pass through, but what he has experienced. And consequently, has the grace. He has the power to keep, to save, and carry me through until we come to that wonderful verse, quote, who has called us unto his eternal glory. For Peter, we've thought of him much today. Then, with the end, will be the end of his eternal glory. Be able to touch it to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. On a bit. Wasn't all my fault though. Sing part of 343. O Lord, thy love's unbounded, so full, so free, my soul is all transported. Whene'er I think of thee, yet, Lord, alas, what weakness within myself I find. You know who wrote this hymn, don't you? You know who wrote this hymn, don't you? What a mind, A.N. Darby. He penned these words. No infant's changing pleasure. Like my wandering mind, Mr. Darby, you mean. Your wandering mind? Yes, but you see, that man learned the greatness of the person. And he had learned the weakness of A.N. Darby. I are in. And yet thy love's unchanging. Doth recall my heart to joy in all its bliss, the peace its beams impart. Yet sure, if in thy presence my soul still constant were, mine eye would more familiar its bright glories bear. Can we sing from verse 5? of 343. From verse 5.